All right. Merry Christmas, everyone. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you all for coming. At this time, we come to the preaching of God's Word. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2. You can help yourself to the Bible right there in the pew if you'd like to follow along, or it'll be on the screen. Luke chapter 2. Our primary focus today is going to be on verse 19. But I'll read verses 1 through 19 for the context. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the words of the living and true God. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with him an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he was lying in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherd. Now, here's verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. When we read Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, we learn many things about Mary and about her faith. We also learn things that prove that what the Roman Catholic Church teaches about Mary are not true. Like her own immaculate conception, or that Mary is the queen of heaven, or that she is a supreme intercessor or co-redemptrix together with Christ. And it's not as if the birth of Christ and thus our salvation somehow depends on the willingness of Mary and her consent to carry the Christ child and to give birth to the Lord, but rather, as we read in Luke 2 and in the other gospel accounts and all other scriptures that speak to the incarnation, we come to no other conclusion but that this is all the work of God's sovereign grace. It is undeserved on Mary's part. In fact, Mary says, "How can these things be since I am a virgin?" And the angel tells her, "For nothing will be impossible with God." But here in Luke 2, we also see that Mary is a great example of faith. An outstanding example of a believer that we have in Scripture. She's not somehow on a different level than us. She's one with us as a child of God. She's one with us, having received the same salvation as we did. And in her response here in Luke 2 to the birth of the Savior and to all the things that happened, she's also an example to us. This that in all this busyness of life and all the commotion that goes on in our day-to-day lives, all that that brings us, that we would do well to imitate what Mary does and to pause and to ponder the things that are going on in our hearts, to consciously and to deliberately meditate on these wonderful things that God has done in our life. And if there's reason for joy when we have a baby, and we marvel as parents at the wisdom of God in the sovereignty of directing all those circumstances to come together for you to meet your husband and for you to meet your wife, and that those things all came together to lead to the birth of one of your children and everything else that followed, well, then how much more ought we to marvel at God's wisdom and ponder these things pertaining to the birth of Jesus Christ? Now, this baby brings salvation to God's people. And so let's consider Luke 2:19 as Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Let's first begin. You'll see this on the back of your bulletin. Let's first look at number one, what this means. Number two, the content of her pondering. What are those things that she's pondering? And then number three, the fruit of Mary's pondering. And so first of all, I want you to notice the meaning. The meaning. And in verse 19, there are two words that tell us what this young mother Mary did when confronted with all these wonderful things surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. The first thing that it says is that Mary treasured all these things. Now, this is the Greek word sunatereo, which means to preserve something or to keep something safe. And the idea here is Mary is storing these things away. She's storing these treasures away. These weren't fleeting thoughts in the mind of Mary, but here was something that Mary saw as valuable. And so she needs to keep them safe, and so she stores them away as a treasure. Even nowadays, many mothers will have their baby's first yearbook, I think it is, sort of keepsake designed to bring to remembrance all those firsts of your baby in those years, when they first crawl and sit up and speak and so on. And that's what Mary is doing here. Mary's mind becomes a treasure chest that's being filled up with all these wonderful things surrounding the birth and conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. She sees these things as so important and valuable, such a keepsake, and she's keeping them in her own collection in her mind, as it were. So that's the first thing we see in the text. Mary treasured all these things, but she doesn't just keep them stored away. The second word we see here is Mary's pondering. She's pondered these things in her heart. And that makes sense, because after having kept these things, Mary has them readily available for her to now think upon and to ponder these in her heart. And that word pondering means to consider something, but not to just consider it in a sort of casual or a careless way, but it means to think about something very soberly, very, very seriously, often in like a reflective moment, a meditative manner, if you will. And you can picture Mary, as it were, sort of laying out this collection of these memories on her table, sorting these sort of picture images out on her head of all the things that she has stored up. And as she lays them out, she's examining them and contrasting them from one another. And she's reasoning in her mind and saying, if this is true, well, then this must be true. And she's doing all these things that she has stored up and seeing how it is that each of these events and circumstances relate to one another. And so she's not only treasured these things, but she's pondering them in her heart as well. And what we see in the life of Mary is an example of a strong Christian, Someone who meditates on the things of God. And it shows us the depths of Mary's faith, even as a young woman, probably just a teenager. And she's not only a virgin, a woman who's pure and godly, but she's a young woman who knows the scriptures well. After all, she quotes scripture readily, talking with her cousin Elizabeth back in chapter 1, if you've read the story. But now we see something marvelous about Mary and the depths of her faith. She's a child of God engaging in this personal meditation so that the part of her body that you can't see with your eye is busy with the things of God. And she's thinking and pondering all these wonderful things that God has shown her. And what an example of faith and of godliness for you to me, for you and me. The Bible tells us that this is what a child of God does. They meditate on the things of God. They ponder the word of God and his law. The believer doesn't put on an outward show, per se. That's what the Pharisees, right? That's what the Pharisees were good at doing. All the things they did to be seen by men. And truly, Jesus said, truly, they've received their reward on earth. But when we pray, Jesus said, go into the room and go shut the door and go into your closet and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And this is what you see in Mary. She's quietly pondering all the things that God has said to her concerning this child and what it all means. And this is the way that Scripture exhorts us to go about our lives as we are to meditate on the things that God has said. This is what, for example, Psalm chapter 1, 1 through 2 talks about when it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And then later in the Psalms, in Psalm 63, verse 6, says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. And that's what David does. He meditates and thinks about God and contemplates the deep and serious things about him as he goes to bed at night. And then listen to this final instruction from Psalm 77, verse 12. The psalmist says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. What do we meditate and think about as we lie in bed at night? Well, the Word of God says we ought to meditate on God and on his faithfulness and on all the wonderful works that God has done for his people. And that's what Mary does on Christmas long ago, the first Christmas. She treasured up all these things concerning this Christ child, and she ponders them in her heart. And we see in Scripture that this is something that characterized Mary all through her life. In fact, after the shepherds leave, she ponders all that they had said. And we read down at the end of Luke chapter 2 when Jesus is now 12 years old, and Joseph and Mary have left Jerusalem, and they're unable to find Jesus, and so they return to Jerusalem. And after 3 days, they're astonished to find him in the temple speaking and questioning the teachers of the law. And Jesus says to Joseph and Mary, why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? And then notice the end of verse 51. It says, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And she's adding to her collection, isn't she? She's adding to her collection. Here's something more about her son, that he must be about his father's business in the temple. He's only 12 years old, and he's listening to the teachers of the law and instructing them. And so she's storing away more of these memories, these treasures, for her to ponder on. So, beloved, we ought to ask ourselves, not only today, but every day, do we take the time to think about the things of God? Do we actually reserve and schedule the time to think about the things of God, because their minds are always so busy. There's always something for them to be thinking about, and what's going on at work, and what am I making for supper, and what do I have to do for the children? There are all kinds of things, especially during this season, that are filling up our minds. And what are maybe even the default settings of your mind, especially when we come to those idle times in our life? Like maybe you're in a car and you're driving down the road every day for an hour to go to work, or when we lay our heads down to go to sleep, but we can't sleep at night. What are we meditating on? What are the things we're thinking about? Business, anxieties, stress, lustful thoughts, sinful thoughts? What are we thinking about? Well, the Bible calls us to ponder the things of God and to meditate on His Word frequently and to delight in His law, meditating on it day and night. So let that be true of you and true of me, especially during this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of celebrating going on at this time of year, but there's very little real pondering on the great mystery of Bethlehem, which Mary ponders in her heart here. And so, beloved, let us be on guard, because it's very easy this time of year to spend so much of our time and give so much of our attention to worldly things and buying gifts and preparing food and preparing our family get-togethers and all sorts of other very good things on their own, which there's nothing wrong with them, but sometimes those good things can become so numerous and so consuming that it's crowd out the rest of our time and we can't find the time to sit down and ponder the things of God. And what is this day that we're gathered here celebrating all about? And so the question that confronts us is, what do you do with, say, the weekly sermon or your time in personal study with God's Word? What do you do with God's Word once you've received it, once you've heard it? What do you do even when the hand of God maybe touches your life in a way and gives you joy or even prosperity for a time? Or when the hand of God touches you in a way that brings you to trial and affliction, do you meditate and ponder the things of God and wonder what's going on in my life? That's what Mary does here. She's treasuring all these things and she's pondering them in her heart. Well, that leads us to point number two, and the question is, well, what was the content of Mary's collection? What exactly is it that she's pondering? Well, verse 19 only summarizes it by saying Mary treasured all these things, which refers first in the context to all these things that the shepherds had just told them concerning the angelic visitation, right? And what a baby visit this was, if you can even call it that, here in Luke 2, when young Joseph and Mary, with their newborn Christ child, originally seeking refuge in the inn, but there was no room for them there. And now here they are in this cattle stall. And who would know about them being here? Who knows that they're there? And suddenly there's visitors at the door, shepherds, not well-dressed, and probably smelling like the sheep, perhaps. But what wonderful things the shepherds had to say to them. The shepherds said to them, we have come to see the Savior. We were out in the field and we were watching over the flock, and suddenly there was a bright light and there was an angel and we were terrified. And then maybe the other shepherd spoke up and says, but the angel told us to fear not to be afraid, and to behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there have been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then maybe the other shepherd spoke and says to Joseph and Mary that the angel said, this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And you can imagine these shepherds telling these things to Joseph and Mary. And what a conversation that must have been. Well, Mary's treasuring up all these things that the shepherd has said, and she's pondering them in her heart. And I'm sure she's beginning to think, so we're not in this cattle stall by accident. I wrapped my baby in these swaddling cloths. This is all by God's design. This was appointed by God for a purpose. And this little child is the Savior that all of God's people have been waiting for, the Christ, this little baby that I'm holding, Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart as she's looking down at the little Christ child, perhaps with her finger being clenched by his little fist. Can you imagine that? And so all these things that the shepherds and the angels had just said, she's pondering. But not only is Mary pondering what the shepherds have seen and heard, but she's treasuring and pondering many other things as well, because she hasn't forgotten her visit with her cousin Elizabeth when Mary entered the house, and how Elizabeth greeted her and said back in chapter 1, verse 43, "And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to visit me?" And she hasn't forgotten either the visit from the angel Gabriel and the astounding thing that Gabriel said to her, that this holy child shall be called the Son of God. And so Mary takes all these things and she keeps them, and she's putting them away as she treasures them, and she's pondering them in her heart. She meditates on the words that God had given in the Old Testament, that he would send a seed of a woman, that he would send a star out of Jacob, that the scepter shall arise out of Israel. And all of the other promises and prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the coming of Christ, and what it is, the conclusion then that Mary comes to as she ponders all these things, the only conclusion is that this is the Son of God in the flesh. And the purpose of his coming is what the angel told Joseph: "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And Mary ponders all these things in her heart. So, beloved, as we think about Christmas and we remember and reflect on the birth of Jesus Christ, we should meditate on these great mysteries that have now been revealed to us in the latter days, and to reflect on the faithfulness of God throughout these thousands of years, going back to the Old Testament, a long amount of time from a human perspective. And if we have to wait a week or a month or, God forbid, a year, that's just far too long for us to wait. But the passage of time, even thousands of years, does not prevent God from being faithful to his word. For as Galatians 4:4 through 5 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons." And he'd go to the cross and he would suffer and die in our place. So what a great salvation we have, beloved. What wisdom of God, what a plan of salvation, that he would send his one and only Son, and that God has brought it for you and for me. And then finally, this pondering of Mary produced fruit in her life. And what I mean by that is that this conscious, deliberate, holy exercise of meditation in her life, it affected the rest of her life going forward. In other words, it wasn't stagnant. And that's what the Bible teaches us, that meditating on God's word has a transforming effect on our lives. And that's what the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy as he is teaching him. And he says in 1 Timothy 4:15, "Meditate on these things, on the doctrine, on the word of God. Give yourself entirely to it." Why, Paul? What's the purpose of that? "That your progress, Timothy, may be evident to all." So that your study of Scripture can have an impact in your life and be evident through your life, so that others may see it. And so, the Word of God is talking about a certain kind of spiritual growth, right? In our time of study of the Scriptures. so that there's an impact in our lives and on those around us as we study the Word of God and we meditate on the faithfulness of God and His promises, that it goes beyond just our mind and it proceeds through our life and the actions and the thoughts of a child of God. Now, as we look at Mary, what does Mary's pondering produce in her life? What's the fruit? Well, number one, her pondering leads to a deepening of her faith in Jesus Christ. A deepening of her faith. What's Mary's relationship to Jesus? She is the mother, right, of Jesus. As he was young and growing up, she cared for him as a mother would. And she taught him and raised him and protected him. But all that has to change. And throughout her life, it does. Until finally, we see her standing at the cross with Jesus above her. And now Jesus, as it were, distances himself and he says, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother. Care now as she be your mother." Mary must now see that relationship to her physical son. It isn't going to be the same anymore. And now it's a relationship of Savior to the one who is saved. And Mary comes to realize that this child isn't the product of her work, but rather she is the product of his saving work. That this isn't her child that belongs to her, but that she belongs to him. And how she loves him. And how she believes in him. And how she trusts in him for all her salvation. And this pondering of Mary leads to a deepening faith in her Savior. And then we can also say finally that Mary's pondering produces in her a life of discipleship. Because what does Mary become? She becomes a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, we see in Acts chapter 1, she joins all the disciples in the upper room, and she's simply listed there along with the rest of the disciples and Jesus' brother. There's no special mention about them, just they were there. They were followers of Christ, believing in what he said, awaiting the Holy Spirit to come upon them. She's one of us. She's commissioned just as you and I are, and she lived a life like any other follower of Christ did. So as we ponder the Word of God and as we meditate on the mystery of Bethlehem, what result does it show in our lives? Not only that we arrive to a greater knowledge of God's Word, not only that we have a deeper faith in our Savior, but it also is to show in our life and have an impact on others. And that's the point of meditating on God's Word, so that we have a conduct that is sanctified and changed by the Spirit of the living God, and that we renew our minds in the Word of God. We don't just study it for it to go in and then sit in our minds, but we meditate on God's Word in order to be transformed by what it says for His glory, so that the child of God doesn't swallow the Word of God whole, but he chews on it and he prays over it, so that the Word becomes like a living letter inside of him, written on our hearts, so that we might go out and live the Word of God to the glory of his name. Mary treasured all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Beloved, let's take the time today and every day to consciously and deliberately to meditate and to ponder on all the great things that God has done for us and giving us such a wonderful Savior this Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas, beloved. I hope that the Word of the Lord blessed you today. And worship team, please come forward. Please come up here and we'll sing our final song. Thank you.
bottom, just press it in.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Oh, dear Lord, our God, we humble